Hi, Internet. This is Melissa Matos.
And this is Jonathan Matos.
And this is Unboxing Story. And I can't say the tagline.
It's unpacking friction without... When, dang it. We don't unpack friction. This isn't a physics podcast.
No.
We unpack fiction without the friction. But today we're unpacking Melissa's fun weekend. LARPing. So let's start with where you were. Because we all knew that you were in a castle.
Yes.
But we did not know where the castle was or if it was in the clouds or if it was goblin infested or what. So
I attended a LARP this past weekend. It's called Dragon Thrones. We were in Bryn Mawr College, which part of the campus is built like castles.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beautiful. So that was a wonderful touch to the weekend, is that we felt like you were on castle grounds.
Oh.
And this is their fourth year doing the LARP. So there was a lot of history already to the storyline.
Oh, cool.
Originally, apparently, it was built very similar to Game of Thrones.
Okay.
So the house that I was part of was like the supposed Lannister house.
Okay.
It's called Lancaster.
We're in Pennsylvania, for those of you who don't.
Yes.
Oh, no, no. So
who don't know, because Bryn Mawr is fairly close to Lancaster, or you can get there easily from there. Anyway.
Were you like the Irish mafia? Were you the Amish mafia or something?
Well, no. Let me continue the explanations of the setup, because the world it was kind of like that the first year, and then went way different.
Oh, okay.
So, like, they have a Lannister house. They have, like, a Stark house. There's Salfarian, which is the kingdom in the north that has, like, wolves as their sigil and whatever.
Right.
There is... What's the third one on Ardmore. I'm not sure what Ardmore was supposed to be kind of like. They're very, very political.
Mm-hmm.
Questionably moral, but everybody in Game of Thrones was, so I'm not sure what they were supposed to represent.
Uh-huh.
And then there was another house that was mercenaries.
Oh.
And there was another house that was, I don't know what they used to be. It's hard to tell because I came into this after all of this history. This is just the background story.
Yeah, so it's literally like walking into a, like, Tolkien or...
Yeah, like, it's already got all of this mythos going.
There's already three books of history.
But the main driving thing behind all of this is that there were these elder dragons that have since died, or actually transformed, into thrones. And so each house has a dragon throne that they can occasionally call on for magical things to happen. Mm-hmm. So that is why no one house has really totally destroyed everybody else, because everybody has this magical thing that they have power from.
Right.
But then this year, the big change that they threw into the story, because previously they had the only magical creatures that were around were draconians. So the elder dragons created this half-human, half-dragon race.
Right.
That were like their minions for a while. And then the Elder Dragons left, but the Draconians are still there. So they're like a separate house there. But this year, they opened up an entirely new continent that had been hidden from this continent by magic. So there's this whole other continent of people, including elves and people calling themselves gods that had dragon magic as well, but didn't look like dragon people. And the princes who were all about this flower that they kept trying to get people to smell, because then it made you feel wonderful.
That's not going to happen.
That's what most of us said. We're like, yeah, no thanks. Really. It's okay. And then the elves, who hated everybody because everybody was not treating them very well. Oh, and another race that was they were almost like all Templars. Like they were... Or, like, paladins. They were, like, all very knight-like and, like, monsters are evil and we're going to kill them all. That's the end of the story.
Right.
Like, we don't care what you call them. We don't care if you think they're good. They're all dying.
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting because literally it was... And I think I liked this better than... I have tried other LARPs before. Not very many, but I've tried other ones. But what I think was great about this one is the way they divided up the different types of story elements, right? Mm-hmm. This is a very political game because, like I said, they based it on Game of Thrones, which is a very political story, right? So the grand scheme is all about what each faction is doing on the map. So they literally have a huge map on the table. And you move your little armies around. Several there's the different setup rounds for when you go up and do these things. And you need to have certain resources, and you need to have, you know, you can make alliances, all that kind of stuff, and that affects what goes on the map. But in order to get those resources and to get those armies and to make those alliances in between these gaming rounds, these big map rounds, they have just regular roleplay. So they have all of these diplomats and all of these different factions sitting around, and you can approach them and say, hey, we want X thing and you want X thing. How about we make a deal? Or, hey, we have this problem in our kingdom. Do you want to come go on a mission with us and we can fix this? And then depending on how those go, you then gain resources for your faction that you can use in the big game. So it was neat because, like, if you weren't into the big strategy stuff, you didn't have to take part in the big map game. You could let your ruler take part in the big map game, and then they would come back and say, okay, here's what we need. Here's the problems. And then you, as your character, could go out and do different things to help solve issues for them. So what I loved also about this, my house was very interesting. Some of the houses were very, very serious. About their goals. And some of the houses were having a lot of fun with their goals, but they were still very much into that. Like, the princes played that role up like nobody's business. They were all dressed like they all came out of Aladdin, and they were all very, very into those flowers, trying to get that around. There were some houses, like the ones that I told you that were the godlike people, were very mysterious, and nobody really was quite sure what they were up to. And they were all very, like, creepy. So, like, they were, when they talked to you, not, like, the persons themselves. The persons themselves were very nice. But when they were talking to you in character, they were all very just, like, I don't know, goth. It was a very goth faction. But our faction, and apparently this has been the same since the beginning. Apparently the first time Lancaster showed up in this game, they brought, like, 6 cases of mead. And they told anybody else, you ever want to just come relax and not be in character and just chill for a moment, you come to our house and you can drink whatever you want. And I mean, literally, when I walked in, they had a table that was like all alcohol. And there were times when people would just come in and be like, hey, we're not here to role play anything. Can we just have a drink? And they did that all weekend. But that gives you a chance to actually meet the people behind the players, you know, behind the characters, and talk to them and say, oh, now I feel comfortable to, like, approach you and say, hey, can we, like, argue about something? Not really argue, but have your characters argue about something and not have it come off as, you know, something scary because now you know this person, right? It's like, oh, yeah, we had a beer the other day. This is cool. Let's talk about whatever. So it was a really laid back kind of house, but we still were very into what our goals were, which is mostly about making money. Very much about trade and making money. So we didn't really try to conquer a lot of stuff. We did a few revenge wars because the elves ticked us off.
What's the bank in Game of Thrones?
Oh, right. Well, that was actually the other house decided to do the bank. The one house I was telling you, Ardmore. So the other thing with Ardmore is, so Ardmore went with the whole Lord of Light thing. So they were all zealots for the Lord of Light. And nobody really quite knew what they were doing with that. But they were also very much the democracy. There's a new one that's a democracy, which is weird for, like, there are no other democracies. This is the only one there. So they kept trying to say, oh, yeah, we're neutral, and we just want everybody to have a say in things. And they were lying because they were trying to overthrow other people, but whatever. But they also had a newspaper, which some of the rest of us did, which I shall have to show you at some point. I will see if I can post that on our Facebook because they did mock newspaper things. They had two. They had a regular newspaper, and then they had, like, the gossip magazine.
When you have freedom of speech.
Exactly.
In your country.
And you get to say all this stuff. So that was funny. But yeah, so we were about trade, and so they opened with making as many alliances and treaties as we could because we were just trying to trade stuff with people and make ourselves wealthier. But we had some issues. Like, our land was dying, and we were the we are the main food producers. We are the farmer faction. Uh-huh. So if our food dies, nobody gets food. So we're like, we need to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they were very much about their bloodline being pure.
Mm-hmm.
We were one of the few houses that still had original direct descendants from the original rulers.
Uh-huh.
And so they were very serious about keeping that pure, except
uh-huh.
our current rulers weren't. So my job as the alchemist, which, hey, that was a fun role to play because I got to do chemistry for fun, was to figure out how to purify her bloodline.
Okay.
And I discovered that she was doing some horrifyingly scary things in order to do that. So I actually helped free someone in our kingdom that was having the blood drained from her to keep the queen healthy. And I was like, okay, that's terrifying.
So wait, so you played alchemist as a paragon, like... That you were help. It's funny because I've told Melissa that in most role playing situations, I try to go for the joke.
Yeah.
So I think like I probably would have been a befuddled, like.
I should have been more absent minded than I was because I was also told that there was a lot of mercury in my system from all the experiments I was doing.
Right.
So I should have been a little more crazy. I did blow up at some people on occasion, so there was that.
Uh-huh.
Wait, yeah.
Did you you have to be careful as
sorry.
An alchemist.
I
did you blow up yourself?
No.
Okay.
I emotionally outburst at people.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, so I got this dryad out of our kingdom. I got her to go to the elves. Except I didn't realize she was going to make a big political statement about it. I thought she was just going to sneak out of the kingdom. She literally, right after, what meeting was it? We had some meeting where we were all... sitting together at the tables. And she stood up and started screaming at the queen that she wasn't going to take it anymore and that the elves had offered her sanctuary and she was leaving. And we're like, and then the elves queen came over and was yelling at Arco. I was like, whoa, this is not what I was thinking was going to happen. And now the elf queen's mad at me. And I'm like, this is not the plan. But anyway.
You should have had made one of those ninja bombs and then this.
Poop. Yeah, just smoked out. No, but she never gave me up. She didn't tell them I knew that this was going to happen. So nobody ever knew. Well, if they listen to this, they know now. They didn't know that.
Game's over now, so.
Yeah. But what I needed in order to cure the queen was the blood from several other races.
Oh, all right.
So as creepy as it was, I had to go around and figure out how to get blood from other people.
All right.
Thankfully, two of them I didn't have to personally do. One of them was draconian blood, and somebody went on a mission where they happened to get some.
Oh, good.
One of them was elven blood, and because of the explosion of what happened between us and the elves, we slaughtered enough elves to get elven blood.
Okay, good.
So there was that. But I personally went to another house and got blood from them, but they were already allied with us, so it wasn't as hard to ask them stuff. Anyway, so... And then we got to do some other fun stuff that was, like, based on the history of the house. So we reopened what we had, a neutral territory trading post for all the houses that they could come and trade in our lands.
Mm-hmm.
And no one would be allowed to attack them. And we managed to get that reopened. And they did eventually go find the thing that would heal our land. And we also now have baby dragon eggs. So next year, if I play this again, we are totally going to have dragon riders. As part of our army, because that just is cool.
Yeah, I was going to ask, because of how busy the summer season normally is, if you were thinking, like, this was fun enough to go back.
Yeah, I don't know. I got to see where, you know, how many vacations we take.
Yeah.
We got a lot of vacations this year,
yeah.
And it was financially a bit tough for this one. But if I would love to be part of it again. It was so much fun. And
yeah.
And I made some friends already because a lot of the people in our group were new, too.
Uh-huh.
So we were all like, do you know what you're doing? I don't know what I'm doing either. Let's go figure out what we need to do. Because I don't know what we're doing.
Right.
But
it seemed like it was well structured.
Yeah.
And
I really enjoyed the structure. They're going to be sending us a survey. I only had a few suggestions. Like, you know, there were game GM people that were moderating. Because you did have to do dice rolls for certain things.
Uh-huh.
Like, you couldn't just say, oh, I did this.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you need to roll and make sure that actually happens.
Uh-huh.
But they were not very many of them, and they tended to get sucked into the bigger, higher-up stuff.
Okay.
So it wasn't always easy to find one to do what you needed to do. So I might make some suggestions about having, like, you know, floating guys that you can just say, hey, you, come here, I need you to witness a dice roll for a minute, or
right.
something like that.
Okay.
But other than that, I think it was really, and so, you know, a lot of LARPs center around kind of like fake combat, like the buffer type combat and stuff, but I didn't have to do any of that. Like, you could have if you wanted to, but they told me there were spiders involved in that one, so I didn't go. but yeah, so you could if you wanted to go do that. You could if you wanted to just stay up and do the mega game the whole time and be a diplomat and try and trade stuff. You could if you wanted to just go around on your own personal things. There were some people that, like, actually the one prince that was running around a lot, he wasn't the head of their group, but he was running around making a lot of friends with the other houses. Even though their group was trying to, you know, mind control everybody with their flowers. When his group imploded because his ruler decided to sacrifice himself because of what was going on in their kingdom. It's a long story, so I don't know if you want to explain all of it. But anyway, his group basically fell apart. And so he went around to all the houses and is like, you know me, right? You know I'm good for this. Will you vote for me to be the new ruler of this group? And he took over house. I was like, yay! Which also, since we are such good friends and trade with them, we will now have access to this blue flower, which is no longer mind control-y, but is still a good drug. So I'm pretty sure we're going to be on top of the spice trade next year, too. Which would be cool. But anyway. But that's the thing. Like, it created a story, but then created a story that has more future possibilities. It's not just like, okay, it's one arc and you're done.
Right.
Yeah. So, all kinds of fun.
Yeah, sounds good. But rather than you turn me into a frog, I'll let you do the I'll let you do the mintro. So because I keep changing up what I say. I say a bump sometimes.
It's not
a bump. I say a mid-roll. Mid-roll. Okay.
So we're going to the mid-roll, and then we will talk about Stranger Things, which I still have not you didn't finish watching it without
no,
me.
No, I did. See,
it's about to jump up.
I don't want
we
to
We only watched
a
few episodes so far, but we will talk some about Stranger Things after the mid-roll.
So, we watched the first couple episodes of Stranger Things Season 3. And I wanted to ask you, based on, like, when you were first getting into it, before we got into this kind of, like, 80s nostalgia era that we're kind of in, and I feel like that's the narrative within the criticism of the show is that there's so many of these now that it doesn't, that part of it doesn't seem as special anymore. But to me, it was more like after like the Big Bang Theory came out, one of the only shows that showed the day in day out life of a nerd.
Yeah.
And somebody that actually shows them playing D&D and stuff like that. So what was it like to see something set in the 80s where they were playing D&D? Like, did you think that it was, like, what was your initial reaction?
Well, I think the criticism about it being another typical 80s nostalgia thing is unfair. Because most of the 80s nostalgia things are very fan servicey about stuff, right? They're like, oh yeah, I remember that hairstyle, or I remember that music, or I remember that look, or whatever it is that they're, you know, spoofing on in the show, in the movie, show, whatever it is. What I love about the way Stranger Things does it is the part of the 80s that they're being nostalgic about is when kids used to hang out outside and go do stuff together as friends. When literally you all just got on your bike and went somewhere.
Right.
So to me, because I never got to play D&D as a kid, I would have been into it if I had known about it. And I liked board games, and I used to sit and play Tetris forever. But what for me was nostalgic was, oh yeah, I used to go with Sarah and get on my bike, and we would go a couple blocks over and meet up with, who was it at the time? I don't know. It depends on what neighborhood we were in at the time. And we would just ride around and go do stuff and, you know, make up lemonade stands and make up different games to play because it was just different then. Kids don't do that now. Well, I mean, there are some kids that go play. Like, let me say that none of them do that. But it's not as common now as it was then. And you didn't care that they didn't have cell phones and you couldn't get them in 5 seconds. Like, you knew well enough where they would hang out in the neighborhood that a mom could come find you if they needed to. Or, you know, if your friend's mom saw that you were hurt, they would help you out. Like, it was a lot more community, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that the thing that I was starting to think about with the third season is that it's interesting comparing the friend group to a, like, this kind of guild that they have.
Right.
And so you're starting the third season to see Will step up more as, like they had referenced him being more of, like, a wizard character, right? And so, but because of the first two seasons, he kind of got Hawkeye'd, if I could put a term to it. Where, like, in the first Avengers movie, Hawkeye gets, mind-controlled by Loki. And so all the fans of Hawkeye were, like, butthurt over it because they were like,
but he's the good guy. Why'd you make him a bad guy for my whole movie?
Yeah. So, like, he was infected by the Demogorgon / Upside Down universe. There's some other monster type thing that we're seeing now. The Mind Flayer is what they call it, because that's another D&D term for all you noobs like me out there that haven't learned the terminology. So the Mind Flayer now is attacking other people, but because Will knows what this looks like based on the second season, he's taking up more of this kind of like leadership role. But it's interesting because it comes from initially this sense of isolation that he feels from the group because everybody else is starting to date. And so what's interesting is that what popped in my mind was the term asynchronous gameplay. I found out this term from, they started, I think 2 years ago, experimenting with games where one person is a monster, specifically like online play. One person's a monster, five people are like hunters, and maybe there's a guy that's like a sniper across the field. So like there's this interesting idea of like everybody kind of has their tool set. And because I didn't grow up with D&D, I associated with more like video games.
Right.
And so what's interesting is that rather than the...
Actually, I think in board game terms, it's asymmetrical gameplay.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's what I'm thinking about. Because
it's about like not everybody has equal skills.
Right.
So everybody's got different... It should be balanced still. Like they should equal out, but they all have very different roles.
Yeah. So I think that's the thing.
So
is
like
that,
Overwatch, right?
Yeah,
that.
That's the interesting thing to me about the group is that it's not necessarily with any of them playing into what we've seen in a couple nerd things where they're very much being open about this is a woman character, this is a black character, and they get defined specifically by their thing. You're getting that with Nancy because she happens to be dealing with a bunch
of dealing with a bunch of
chauvinist pigs at her
job.
And that comes across organically because it's not like the whole show is doing that with each of their things. But what I'm liking is that they seem to be very good at picking out different characters as like this character is kind of a loner, so we're gonna have him not be the one that's starting to date. They hint that he might be homosexual. But knowing the 80s, there was a lot of homophobia in that time, so it might have been like that they were trying to play into that too, just because he's not dating one of the other characters is just like, you know, it's not my fault that you don't like girls, you know. And so yeah, that's just something that appeals to me about it is that each one of them's seems to maintain their individuality, and I think that can be difficult in a it seems like we were just watching Heroes, and because I'm re-listening to a Lost podcast, there's a lot of these shows that try to do ensemble casts, and there's so many times where you see, okay, this is the strength of this type of show, this is the weakness of it, and I think Stranger Things has been pretty good about like this is the big conflict. We're going to have all these characters kind of like reacting to this in different ways, but the story still moves forward very well.
What I appreciate too about the group dynamic, and I hope that, I mean, I have an idea in my head of how they should resolve it at the end, but I don't know how they're going to do it because they're surprising.
Are you talking about the green flame?
No. No, that's another hope. I keep wishing, because he's been through so much crazy crap, that Will would actually become a wizard and throw a fireball at somebody. Yeah, that's all I want, guys.
It's very transparently a fan service thing that is going to happen.
Right. I hope.
As somebody on the outside,
it's just my dream
of this fandom. I can assure you that they're going to give you that eventually.
Get ticked enough to do it. Because they're going to need to, now that they set up, I'm not going to spoil that part for you, but then that they set up how dire what is happening is, and they're going to need more than just 11 to deal with it. Anyway, so the friends group is growing up, and sometimes that does mean that they grow apart.
Right.
It happens
to
a lot of people.
Yeah.
However, in my experience now that I have been able to be part of game groups,
mm-hmm.
and really good game groups,
right.
and even just with the LARP this weekend,
mm-hmm.
There is something special about playing those games together. Especially now, maybe not as much in the 80s when there was a lot more personal contact,
mm-hmm.
but now when everything is digital and everything's on your phone and everything is
ephemeral.
Yeah. Having a time where you literally have to sit down at a table with other human beings and talk to them, even if you're not talking to them as yourself, I think it actually, for introverts like me, makes it easier to talk to other people if you're playing a role, because
sure.
you know exactly what you need to do.
Right.
But there's something good about that personal, actual interaction
mm-hmm.
that makes you that makes friends quicker.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. I've seen it happen a lot of times. And it's a very good friendship. Like, it is a very important part of most gamers' lives to have
mm-hmm.
their game night. Like, you don't mess with
yeah.
game night. That's not something you do.
Uh-huh.
And most of the people that were at the LARP were actually from game groups from their own homes mm-hmm. and knew each other that way.
Uh-huh.
And were coming to this to actually play, role play out stuff together
mm-hmm.
that they didn't get to do in that full of a way at home. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
what I'm hoping for with Stranger Things, because Will is trying to keep them together by gaming, but he's being short-sighted because he's not growing up the same way they are.
Uh-huh.
Whatever is, I don't know if it's they're trying to show that he's a slow, late bloomer, because that happens too,
mm-hmm.
or if he's just always going to be a loner or whatever
uh-huh.
they're having in plan for him.
Uh-huh.
He wants to keep the group together,
right.
but he has to learn, okay, it can't be exactly the same, but why can't they have the girls play with them? Or
uh-huh.
why can't they find other ways that they can do
right.
things all together? Because right now they're all doing disparate things.
Right.
But there are, I'm sure, still going to be hopefully something that will tie them all back in together by the end. That's what
yeah.
I'm hoping for, because I am a warm, fuzzy person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I want it to
go.
And
I think that it's definitely kind of like it's playing this idea of like how stuff in the 80s was, even in scarier things like The Lost Boys or in some of the stuff that like Jim Henson did and stuff like that. It's playing with things that are, like, usually, like, horror tropes.
Right.
Like, if you were to say, like, a goblin king kidnaps a baby, you're going to think, like, well, that's kind of scary. but, like, it's that tone is kind of the playground that it's playing in. Well, one thing I was going to mention is that I think it's cool how they're showing how different characters can step up as kind of, like, leaders. It's an interesting thing because, like, they're very good at maintaining the emotional immaturity of some of the characters. So, like, in that case, like, there are characters that might behave in a way that an adult would at any given time, right? And so it's allowing them to still be kids, but it's giving some of them opportunities to grow up in,
right.
in small ways, right? So, it like we're saying, it sets up that Will is more isolated and now it is you know, upset that his friends are ditching him a lot, and so initially he takes that out on them, but then like we're saying, it's kind of building up this thing of it's forcing him to grow, and I think it's one of the things that I can understand how, like, people in the whole comics gate debate are talking about, like, issues like where, like, the Flash does, like, this inner monologue throughout a whole issue. Like, you buy a comic book not to see a guy, like, to read
talk to himself.
A superhero's journal.
Yeah.
Right? And so, like...
Although I would, because I'm weird.
But, because, like, it depends on how you do it.
Oh, yeah.
like, because I know, like, there are annuals, for example, that try to do some recap work, and it wants to get you on the right page. So, like, there are those devices where sometimes it works. But more or less, like, they don't want these guys to be mushy all the time, and they want there to be some kind of conflict that leads to maturity. Or at least I think that's the less toxic version of the conversation around the whole Comicsgate issue. Like I said, it's a floating thing, so I know there your mileage may vary in terms of the arguments that you've seen about it. But it's one of the points that I've kind of agreed with there, that there are some issues that are all dialogue or monologue and that don't seem to have any tension to them, versus other ones, like I think Brian Michael Bendis is a good one, that shows dynamics between characters, and you get a lot of good moments of tension and drama and stuff. I was just thinking about how I went to golf. There's this place called Top Golf. I went to the Jersey one. And it was nice because it was my first time playing golf. And there was a guy, Keith, there that was way more experienced than me. In between him showing his girlfriend the ropes, he was showing me how to do stuff.
Oh, nice.
And so, like, the opportunity to, like, not take that macho kind of, like, I'm just going to be with all the other guys that are, like, I think it shows maturity on his level to, you know, be that familiar with me in a way that could get him mocked or, you know, there's a lot of that, like, when you're in a competitive thing with, and there's a mixed group of people, it's very hard to kind of just go out there and help somebody else out. And so I think that's one of the cool things about the show, is that it's showing, like, for example, there's a girl that works with, I don't know if his name's Tyler, or I'm just thinking of the whitest, broiest name that I could think of.
Oh, how can I forget his name?
But yeah, he's
anyway, they're working at the ice cream place.
Yeah. And initially there's just this kind of like she's just ridiculing him because he's trying to pick up girls all the time and stuff like that. But when she sees that they're working on something, him and one of the Korra groups are working on this, like, super secret thing, she gets involved and shows kind of, like, her strength of character and stuff. And it gets to the point where the cute kid without the teeth is just like, you know, why aren't you going for a girl like this that shares your interest?
Yeah, that's awesome. That's saying. It's like, she's awesome. Like, yeah. What's wrong with you?
Uh-huh. So, like, that, all those types of things that are, like, part of, it's dealing with this idea of, like, the different male characters that I identify with, showing this idea of, like, they're learning to mature in these levels. So it's allowing them to be these kind of fun 80s, like, spoof characters.
Right.
While at the same time showing
that they're humans and have brains.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah. And that they're learning and they're adapting.
He had one of my favorite lines to him. He's like, now that you're, you know, out of high school, how about you stop worrying about what all your friends and cliques think and go out with somebody you actually like?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I was like, yes. How about that?
Uh-huh.
Maturity thing there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
So, yeah. So, I like that it balances more of those fun fan servicey things that you expect from a show about the 80s, and specifically, like you're saying, it does that work of making it like this kids on bikes type thing, where, like, it's making you feel not only the these, like, references to,
right, but, like, the actual way
things.
You used to live then.
Yeah, yeah.
When you had only the phone on your wall, and you used to ride down to the park every day. That's what
right.
you did, and it was a big, huge thing when you got a mall. Like, it was a big deal.
Right. And I was saying that Hopper's starting to have these, like, Uncle Buck moments.
Yeah.
And I liked
it. Because he's becoming a dad. Well,
right.
He was a dad before, wasn't he?
Yeah. But I think specifically, like, that there was a lot of those things in the 80s where you would see, like, I know one of the fun macho things that I would do as a kid when, like, you guys were watching, like, Full House and stuff like that. I would be watching Step by Step because every, like, fourth episode, there would be something where the dad or one of the brothers would beat the crap out of somebody because they were, like, being fresh with one of
right.
the daughters. And it's just something that you don't see nowadays in sitcoms. But it's that type of thing of, like, he's very protective of
my girl.
Yeah, he's very protective of her.
Yeah.
And so it's just funny because she's starting to date. But it's doing with it in such a way where he's not becoming a monster. It's like very endearing how he's going through this emotional growth, like baby steps at a time.
And I do greatly appreciate that this is a show about horror things where not everybody is complete idiots.
Uh-huh.
People are being smart about what they do.
Right.
People are, you know, working together with their friends and actually telling them things and not
right.
just be like, no, I can't say anything. They're going to think I'm crazy. It's like, no, we've been through two seasons of this now. Something freaky's going on. You talk about it.
Uh-huh.
Let's just do this.
Right.
Yeah. Although I am very interested to see what comes next.
Yes.
Because they left us in a weird place at the end of the last episode that we watched. So.
Yeah. So thank you for listening to this episode. You can reach us at unboxingstorypodcast@gmail.com. You can also leave a voice message for us.
Yes, if you go to anchor.fm.
Yes, /unboxing-story.
Yes.
All
the punctuation ever.
And you can support us there if you would like to subscribe. It would greatly help the show.
Rate us on iTunes so people can find us.
Mm.
And we're not floating somewhere in the ether where no one knows where we are.
Yeah, and supporting us that way, supporting us with money, helps us to go to more things where we might see one of
you. You can see us live. We're
going
to be live at the end of the month.
Yes.
In the Philly 20th, Podcast Festival.
At 3 p.m. at the Colonial Penn Building at the Indy Hall. Specific. I feel like I'm doing one of those, like,
doing
one of those
all
zooms
the fine
in.
Print after.
We're going to start with Earth. United States. Philadelphia. Indy Hall. In Colonial Penn Building.
And there's going to be pancakes.
Yes, if you come between 10 and 12, you get pancakes. Now, I can't personally say that they're
amazing.
I'm not making pancakes.
No, we're not making pancakes. Is it Indy Hall's making pancakes? The Podfest? Somebody's making pancakes.
Yeah.
There's going to be pancakes there. You should come have pancakes.
I don't look a pancake in the mouth.
Yeah, I know, right?
But bring your favorite toppings if you want to come early.
We should bring some strawberries.
Stay all day for a whole bunch
all
of different
the podcasts
shows.
Ever.
There's going to be one about comics. Go comic Juntu. I don't know if that makes it a manga thing, but I think that's like an order that you can make at a. There's like
a sushi thing? A bento box thing?
Yeah, I think
whatever they're called.
I see TO and I think box. Yeah, and then there's a Damsels with Daggers the same day, so you get more RPG talk.
I need to listen to some more of them.
And just, yeah, find out more about local Philly podcasts that you can support. You can also reach us at Unboxing Story on Facebook and Twitter.
Yep.
All the ways that you can interface with this glorious production. Okay. All right. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.